One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're... We're lagging.
Yeah, why? We like just started lagging all of a sudden.
I know. Our call is lagging, everybody.
Well, now it's not lagging.
Yeah, no, now we're fine. That's weird. I don't know what's going on.
It just lagged right when we needed it not to.
Yeah, of course. It's fine. It's charming or whatever.
Right. It's like our friendly bond can't be broken by distance.
Friendly bond.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what I was searching for there.
Scott is still on the West Coast.
Yep.
And will be forever, basically.
Pretty much. Pretty much ever.
And I'm eating dinner again because whatever, Scott, putting me on blast in the episode description. Sorry, I worked all day today and had no time to get dinner before this. And I'm hungry and I had a bad day. And you had off today, so I don't want to hear it.
I did have off today, and it's also 3 hours earlier here, so I'm not going to eat dinner for another couple hours.
Ugh, yeah, it's like already almost 8 o'clock right now, so I'm hungry. Speaking of hungry,
yes.
Well, we can eat a song salad.
Song salad is the most satisfying auditory treat. It's a random genre from moodfuse.com plus a random topic from Wikipedia combined to create a lovely salad.
And topped with our special sauce.
Ew. That is,
you don't have to be gross about it.
Depends on the week.
Yeah. let's just get our topic.
Yeah, our genre.
Or sorry, our genre. Yep, that's I know what I'm doing. I've only been doing this for over a year. It's cool.
55 right. Is the charm.
Yeah. I want to spin this time.
Okay. Well, what's our salad spinner?
Oh, our salad spinner. We have some awesome new salad spinners from Kieran Sizek on Twitter.
Thank you, Kieran.
And thank you so much, Kieran. At Kieran Siz, which is definitely not spelled how you think it's spelled. It's Kieran C. ZY says, salad spinner suggestion, teacher reminds you that you can't use Wikipedia as a source for your research paper.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is good. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Okay.
David, you can't use Wikipedia as a source for your paper about haunted bridges in Connecticut, especially when you make the article that you referenced.
That's a good one.
And the backstory there is that my brother made a Wikipedia article and a website as a source for it. And that information that he made up was published in a book.
I do remember him showing us that. It's actually really impressive that the scale of the grift is really amazing. I thought nursery rhymes.
Wait, what?
Yep.
And it's different from our... children's music episode.
Yes. Yeah.
And so we'll tell you exactly why.
Yes. So according to Wikipedia, a nursery rhyme is a traditional poem or song for children in Britain and many other countries.
Specific.
But usage of the term only dates from the late 18th, early 19th century. In North America, the term Mother Goose rhymes, which is introduced in the mid 18th century, is still often used. From the mid-16th century, they began to be recorded in English plays. Oh, I guess that makes sense. Like, if you're, trying to do a domestic play and there are kids in the play, you would put nursery rhymes in the play. And the most popular nursery rhymes date from the 17th and 18th centuries. The first English collections, Tom Thumb's Songbook, and the sequel, Tom Thumb's Pretty Songbook... I guess they like really upgraded their cover art, were published before 1744.
Crazy.
John Newbery's compilation of English rhymes, Mother Goose's Melody, or Sonnets for the Cradle, 1765, is the first record we have of many classic rhymes still in use today. Do you think John Newbery, do you think that's like the Newbery Prize?
Yes, the Newbery Medal was named after him, and he is known as the father of children's literature.
Amazing. That's really cool. Okay. So, lullabies also fall into this category, according to Wikipedia.
Huh.
Which is cool. Lullabies specifically are intended to help kids sleep, obviously. So there's, common in lullabies or like talking about sleep and falling asleep and humming and sort of onomatopoetic sounds and things that are very soothing.
And it says the English term lullaby is thought to come from la-la or la-la sounds made by mothers or nurses to calm children, and bye-bye, either another lulling sound or a term for good night.
Oh, that's cute. Let's get an example.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
What's my favorite nursery rhyme? What a good question.
Question that people don't ask each other often.
Yeah. I just looked on Wikipedia for a list of nursery rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of them.
I think my favorite nursery rhyme is Three Blind Mice.
Oh, you know what my favorite nursery rhyme is? Actually, it's the one about Hushaby, or All the Pretty Little Horses. Do you know that one?
Is that that 90s song that's like, everything's gonna be all right, Hushaby?
I mean, maybe.
What is that, like, song actually called? Rockabye?
Rockabye, not Hushaby. No, my mom used to sing this to me, and I love it because I love it because it's not super happy, and like and I mean, you know me, and I don't like things that are just like sickeningly sweet. Like, that's not how I, that's not the kind of culture I consume, and that's not the kind of stuff I write. But yeah, so it's it's like a lovely song lyrically, but the melody is kind of dark and haunting. Do you know it?
Okay.
Or not?
I don't.
Do you want to use it as our example?
Sure. Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do it.
So what is the actual title of it?
It's All the Pretty Little Horses, also known as Hushaby.
Okay. This is Lullaby by Sean Mullins from 1998.
Lullaby?
It's called Lullaby.
No, but it has not.
The... I'm kidding. This is All the Pretty Little Horses.
Oh, wait. Is that by, is that the one you were thinking of? Rockabye?
Yeah.
Oh.
I looked it up.
God.
I'll play it at the end of the episode. What I'm really interested in here is how some of these poems or nursery rhymes without music ended up getting music, and whether they typically have multiple melodies or if one melody kind of stuck with each of them. And I don't know if we're going to be able to find that out here.
Well, I'm also interested in you doing research on that by yourself.
Yeah.
No, but that's, well, a good question, because like when you think of like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star,
right,
there aren't that many, like you don't think of, you think of one melody with Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Like, it's not like if you met someone else from another part of the country and you were like, on the count of three, we're gonna sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, you would sing the same thing.
Right. Well,
and there are melodies that are repeated, right?
Usually, like we talked about in our children's music episode, melodies for songs that are sung to children or by children are usually simple and repetitive so that they can be picked up easily.
Right. Okay, so a lot of nursery rhymes have been argued to have hidden meanings and origins.
Oh, yeah. I think I know one of them.
Oh, really? Wait, say which one you know, and then we'll see if it's right.
I think the first one I was thinking of is Ring Around the Rosie.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I know that one, too.
Isn't that about the plague?
It's actually about... It might be about the plague, but I think it's... it says no evidence that the poem has any relation to the plague.
Oh, I should have scrolled down further.
Yeah, according to this Wikipedia article, I thought it was actually about ringworm.
Oh.
That people would get ringworm, mm-hmm. Ring Around the Rosie, and then pockets full of posy or like so you don't smell.
Gotcha.
But I don't know. So
yeah, I thought it was a similar concept, just about the plague. And then what's the other one? There's one about the flu too.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, it was. How it goes. It's something like I had a little bird. Her name was Enza. I opened up the window and influenza.
Are you sure that's not just a bad joke you heard once?
I think it's like a nursery rhyme thing, or just a poem.
So the interesting thing is that, like, while looking at some of these other origins and meanings, it's not necessarily that these songs had hidden meanings. They were just referencing things that they saw in the world around them and the way things were, which is like what songs and poems of any era do. So, for example, Ba Ba Black Sheep, Ba Ba Black Sheep, have you any wool? Yester, three bags full, one for my horses, one for my men, one for whatever. So they're talking about like the medieval wool tax and the slave trade. And so like, that's not like a hidden meaning of the song. It's just like, that's just what was happening.
Right.
And so they were talking about it.
Let's sing about it.
Yeah. So there's like, let me look at these and see if there are any that are actually like really cool. But
I have a quiz for you.
Okay.
So Dave, my brother, who I already referenced once this episode, texted me a couple of days ago. And he said, knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. I can't agree with Katie on the ending line. What is it? No looking it up.
This old man is rolling home?
I had no idea.
Oh, I think it's knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. This old man is rolling home?
I said, yes, sir, three bags full, because I couldn't think of anything.
Baba Black Sheep. So is that right? Did you look it up?
No, I haven't looked it up yet. I forgot to follow up with it. Let's look it up.
Okay.
It's called This Old Man.
Oh.
Right?
This old man, he played one.
Yeah. With a knick-knack, paddywhack, give the dog a bone. This old man came rolling home. You're right.
Yes! I was right. Do I win a prize? Dave, give me a prize.
I'm going to look up nursery rhyme melodies and see if I can find any history of how famous nursery rhymes got their melodies and if they were added to the poems after the fact or if they came at the same time.
Okay, cool. Hey, guess what?
What?
I found a WikiHow article called How to Write Nursery Rhymes.
Why isn't there a WikiHow article for every genre we write in?
I mean, there probably is, but I don't normally look at it because, like, you know, I could figure it out. But this one is so bonkers that I think we might want to try it.
Do tell.
Okay, so step one, pick a nursery rhyme you already like. Step
Go
two.
Go with the classic.
Yeah. Step two, print it out. Or write it in pencil on a piece of paper.
Assuming we have those resources at our disposal.
Yeah, it's a very presumptuous WikiHow article. But get ready for step three, which is cross out the title of the nursery rhyme. And also find all instances of the title that appear in the rest of the rhyme and erase them or cross them out as well.
Huh.
Then pick a new title with the same number of syllables and put it in place of the original. Then go through and write the rhyme scheme of the nursery rhyme. So like A, B, B, C, you know, whatever. At the end of each line, write the scheme and underline all the rhyming words and then erase them and replace them with new words that rhyme.
Oh my God. This is like the worst Mad Lib ever.
Yeah. So their example, they're using Twinkle Twinkle Little Star as an example.
Of course.
And instead of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, How I Wonder What You Are, they have replaced the first two lines to say, Twinkle Twinkle Little Light, How I Wonder What You Bite.
Okay. Good example, guys.
Yeah, super good example. Makes a lot of sense. And then replace the verbs and prepositions in the first line to suggest another action.
Okay.
But, like, they don't say anything about nouns, which is funny. They say verbs and prepositions.
Right.
So they have, and so now they've replaced Twinkle Twinkle Little Light with Sparkle Sparkle Little Light. And then they also give an example, Humpty Dumpty Sat on a Wall can be rewritten as Jackie Wacky Went to a Ranch. Jackie Wacky Went to a Ranch. Jackie Wacky Climbed on a Branch.
Jackie's so wacky.
I know. So here's their completed Humpty Dumpty. Jackie Wacky Went to a Ranch. Jackie Wacky Climbed on a Branch. All through the day and into the night, Jackie Wacky climbed up to such a great height.
Well, not an improvement on Humpty Dumpty, I would say.
Nope. So this is just suggesting, this is the find and replace version method of writing a nursery rhyme. So this is just like, I feel like this is sort of like light plagiarism or something.
Yeah.
It's like skimming off the top of something. It's very bizarre.
Well, this does connect with what I found musically.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. If you notice, a lot of nursery rhymes share the same melody. For instance, Twinkle Twinkle and Baa Baa Black Sheep, same melody. Another example is like London Bridge, and then there's this other song called Nuts in May that goes like, here we go gathering nuts in May, nuts in May, nuts in May, here we go gathering nuts in May on a cold and frosty morning. So it's like the same tune, but about gathering nuts in May.
And isn't the alphabet song is Twinkle Twinkle Little Star too?
Yeah, the alphabet. Yep. Mm-hmm. So what you find is that there's not really much record of who composed these melodies.
Right.
They really just exist in the oral tradition of folk songs. And there is a database called the Roud Folk Song Index, Roud spelled R-O-U-D. And it's a database of nearly 200,000 references to nearly 25,000 songs that have been collected from oral tradition in the English language from all over the world.
That's really
so
cool.
So when you start looking up nursery rhymes, a lot of them have their Roud index number next to them. So London Bridge is Roud index number 502. And then Nuts in May is Roud index number 6308. But they're the same tune, but they're different index numbers because they're from like different times and different parts of the world. So it's kind of hard to pin down exactly where the origins of these melodies were, but they, because they were so singable, recognizable, and repetitive, it was easy to keep the structure and just adapt a new poem to the song. So I think the WikiHow article is like not too far off, honestly.
I mean, not too far off musically, but this is generally not how words work.
Right.
People normally don't just find and replace one rhyme with another. But no, that's really cool. And you know what I think kind of also works like that is Christmas carols.
Yeah, that's true.
There are like a lot of Christmas carols that share the same melodies.
Yeah, especially across languages.
Yeah, yeah. That's really cool. What a good find, that database. So I think we should probably get our topic, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's about time. Yeah. So let's go to Wikipedia and spin the salad spinner of not using Wikipedia as a research source.
Okay, I'm ready.
Go for it.
Scott, your biography of Patrick Swayze was very interesting, but I'm pretty sure his middle names aren't Penis Wayne.
You don't know?
So here's the backstory of that one. We had, I guess it was friends we knew in college who kept editing Patrick Swayze's Wikipedia article to make it so that his name was like his real name was Penis Wayne Swayze.
And I think didn't he do it over and over and it kept getting changed back and then he got kicked off Wikipedia?
Yeah, I think he got banned.
Yeah. He also, I think the same guy also put in the middle of a very dense piece of text on the Winston Churchill article that Churchill once rode an ostrich across the desert, and because it was like buried in there, it stayed for like 2 years.
That's awesome.
I got the Naples waste management crisis.
This is perfect. I actually know about this.
You do?
I do. I forget where I learned about it, but in grad school we learned about the city of Naples basically just stopped, there was like a garbage strike basically. And for like some obscene period of time, you couldn't get your garbage taken away if you lived in Naples.
Weird.
And it wasn't that long ago.
No, this is talking about like 2000, the peak being in 2008.
Yeah.
All right. Oh well, let's get into it.
All right. Here. All right. This is the perfect thing for a nursery rhyme because it's like the
because
perfect
we can
thing.
Disguise it. Yeah.
Yes, and it would be like going on at the time, but you don't have to reference it directly, but like if you lived through this and you were like talking to it to your about it to your kids, like you would kind of talk about it. It's perfect.
This is the medieval wool tax of Italy.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent. I could not be happier. Perfect way to end a Monday.
All right. Well, let's read exactly what this is here.
Yes.
The Naples waste management crisis is a series of events surrounding the lack of waste collection in the city of Naples that peaked in the summer 2008 and regarding the disposal of the trash. Wait.
That's a bad sentence.
Bad sentence. Is currently
and regarding unresolved. Yeah, there's too many verbs. Yeah.
Since the mid-1990s, Naples and the Campania region have suffered from the dumping of municipal solid waste into overfilled landfills. Another problem is that the Pianura's garbage dump in Naples was filled by North Italy's industries and garbage from other Italian regions.
Ooh.
Beginning on December 21st, 2007, the municipal workers refused to pick up any further material. As a result, the waste had begun to appear as regular fixtures on the streets of Naples, posing grave health risks to the metropolitan population. On December 31st, the government closed one of two major dumps near the city at the request of the city's residents.
Oh, geez.
Reports during the summer of 2008 stated that the problem was caused at least in part by Camorra, a powerful local mafia based in Campania, who had created a lucrative business in the municipal waste disposal business. Heavy metals, industrial waste, and chemicals and household waste are frequently mixed together, then dumped near roads and burned to avoid detection, leading to severe soil and air pollution. Blech.
I feel like there has to be maybe all of the better ways to scam people into getting their money than like making people pay you to take their garbage away and then not really doing it a good job of it. Like Like, seriously, like, the, like, come on, Kimura, like, you're a mafia and, like, that's the thing you pick. Like, do literally anything else. It'll be better, right. I promise.
Not the coolest crime spree to go on.
No, no, definitely not. Garbage burning.
Oh, geez. This says that I clicked on the Kimura Wikipedia site just to see a little more about them. And it says that there's evidence of them using child labor to drive the waste away for a lower price. And they don't complain about the health risks as much as older truckers do.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
Over a 20-year period, it was alleged about 10 million tons of industrial waste had been illegally dumped, with cancers caused by pollution increasing 40 to 47%.
Whoa.
This is so sad.
Yeah, it's really sad.
It looks like there was a little bit of management of this crisis at the end of, or in the summer of 2008, newly elected Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi at that time opened new landfill sites and an incinerator, and he sent 700 tons of rubbish a day to incinerators in Hamburg, Germany.
By the end
of July, Berlusconi declared that the emergency was closed, and by September, the rubbish had gone from the streets of Naples.
So I'm remembering why I know this, I think.
Yeah, please do tell.
So in one of my arts admin classes in grad school, mm-hmm. we were talking about the ruins at Pompeii. Okay. And I guess that according to our professor, who was Italian, I guess the Italians are notorious for, like, not really taking super great care of their monuments and stuff.
Okay.
And their museums. I'm sure that there are exceptions, but Pompeii, like, fell completely, like, into disrepair, basically. And it was kind of a tragedy. And I'm thinking that, and like, a lot of, like, important history was damaged or lost because of it. And I'm thinking that because, if you see that after some riots in October 2010, the Italian government announced a 3 million metric ton landfill that would be constructed within Vesuvius National Park.
Ah.
And I think that's why I heard about this, is because it was, you know, related, basically, to, like, the volcano erupting in Pompeii. Mount Vesuvius erupted, Pompeii got buried, and they were talking about, like, this is just another symptom of this neglect, is that they're literally going to dump. They're going to dump a dump in the middle of Vesuvius National Park. So I'm pretty sure that's why I knew about this.
Crazy.
Yeah. Go figure. It's the only thing I've ever used from grad school.
I also just found another really fascinating thing related to this, because at the bottom of the original article, there's
seat
also for the triangle of death.
Yes. Okay. I was hoping you were going to click that.
Yeah. So the triangle of death is a little area in central Italy, in the province of Campania, comprising the municipalities of Acerra, Nola, and Marigliano. And the biggest problem there is that, so this is like the illegal waste dump that the Kimura criminal organization, like, goes to dump all the trash. And it's also a dump for toxic waste.
Oh my God, this is horrible.
And 550,000 people live in the area. The annual death rate per 100,000 inhabitants from liver cancer is close to 34.5 for men and 20.8 for women, as compared to the national average of 14.
Oh, geez.
And then there's a lot of other really sad stats, too.
Guys, don't go to Italy, man.
Well, don't go to this triangle of death in Italy.
Oh, God.
Luckily, Megan and I didn't go anywhere near there on our honeymoon.
Yeah. Triangolo della Morte is what it's called, which is pretty badass.
That is badass. This is sad.
It is very sad.
All right, Shannon, how are we going to turn this into a nursery rhyme?
I don't know yet, but I'm very excited to find out. So wait, so do you think that I should do the find and replace method of writing a nursery rhyme?
Well, the follow-up question to that is, should we use an existing tune? Because it seems like a lot of nursery rhymes are just traditional tunes.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great? Like, I wonder if there's like a traditional, Italian song.
I'm on it.
That we could. What if we set it to the tune of Amore?
No, I'll look up like the most famous Italian folk songs, nursery rhymes, children's songs, that kind of stuff, and I'll find a good one.
Cool, I like this.
So Shannon.
Yes, Scott.
I found a bunch of Italian songs and nursery rhymes.
Okay.
And before I tell you the one we're actually going to use, I wanted to read you this fun tongue twister.
Okay.
In Italian, it goes, sul tagliere l'aglio taglia, non tagliare la tovaglia non è aglio, se la tagli fai un sbaglio.
Boy, you speak Italian like you had your honeymoon there.
Yeah, exactly. And the translation is, cut the garlic on the cutting board. Do not cut the tablecloth. The tablecloth is not garlic. If you cut it, you made a mistake. It's my new favorite tongue twister.
What a like really useful, very salient, very, very relevant for today.
Unfortunately, I couldn't find any tune for it. I think it's just like a tongue twister without a melody. So we're not going with that one. The song we're actually going to use the melody from is called Bella Ciao.
Okay.
Which means like hi, beautiful, mm-hmm. basically. Which is a traditional song that has a lot of different lyrics attributed to it, which works for what we're going for. But originally, it was from around 1943 to 1945 and was a freedom anti-fascist movement song sung by a group called the Partisans in the Italian Civil War.
Perfect.
And the melody goes, una mattina mi sono alzato, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Una mattina mi sono alzato e ho trovato l'invasor. And then that repeats with every verse.
Okay, so that seems simple enough.
Yeah.
But I have
And a... you'll just change the words.
Okay, so you want me to use those words and not... like words of a different nursery rhyme.
So I was just singing the words that are there, so I didn't have to go la la la.
yeah, gotcha. Well, that's too bad because I had a poem all picked out.
Well, maybe it lines up perfectly. Who knows?
It definitely does not. I picked the old English poem, Little Robin Redbreast, which you may have heard. It's actually one of the ones that has the most variation. So you may have heard something like Little Robin Redbreast sat upon a rail, nibble noble when his head, wiggle waggle when his tail, something like that. Little Robin Redbreast sat upon a tree, up went the pussycat, down went he.
Little Robin Redbreast, have you any wool? Yes, sir,
three bags full. same rhythm. But the reason that it's one of the most varied nursery rhymes is because the original version was dirty. And the lyric that they pick out is Little Robin Redbreast sitting on a pole, niddle noddle went his head, and poop went his hole.
That's incredible.
And poop went his hole. I love it. I love it.
That and the garlic on the cutting board rhyme are wonderful.
Oh, and poop on his hole. So funny.
I kind of want to call this episode Poop When It's Whole, even though that's not the title of the song.
Wait, so it has a Roud Folk Song Index number.
Really?
Yeah, and it's 20,612.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Must be late.
Yeah. So that was my thought was I would adapt Little Robin Redbreast into, well, we'll see if we can still make it work, but instead of Little Robin Redbreast, I was going to do Deadly Garbage Ocean. but we'll see.
Well, I could just do the whole thing to the tune of Baa Baa Black Sheep.
Yeah, I mean, no. Let's do it this way. I think it's more inventive this way.
Okay.
All right. So
we'll always have that memory.
We will always have the poop on his whole memory. All right. So I will work on this. You work on your thing.
So I'm going to just do a little bit of accordion accompaniment.
Oh, boy.
As if it's like an Italian guy playing the accordion for people on the street and singing this song.
Racist.
What?
I'm joking.
And his name is Giuseppe.
His name was Giuseppe, and it was great.
It always will be.
I have a song.
Can't wait.
And it lines up exactly with the scansion of Bella Ciao.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Our stinky city of old Napoli. How it smells, how it smells, how it smells, smells, smells. The mean Camorra. They just want money. Now it smells just like a sewer. They dump it in the Death Triangolo. Now we're sick, now we're sick, now we're sick, sick, sick. You'd never think that. This grift is worth it. Someone better help us quick.
Okay. Oh, man. I love it.
It works.
It works great.
That's our nursery rhyme.
Should I do an Italian accent?
No.
Okay, I won't. Were you thinking that sewer is just one syllable?
Yeah, cool. Sewer.
Great. Sewer.
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 Sewer. If the Italians can do it, we can do it.
Do you have a title?
I think Our Stinky City is pretty good. Or Death Triangolo.
Oh, man. I feel like we got to go with Our Stinky City.
Our Stinky City or How It Smells.
Our Stinky City.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Our Stinky City. This is a nursery rhyme called Our Stinky City.
By Shannon and Scott.
Our stinky city of old Napoli. Oh, how it smells, how it smells, how it smells, smells, smells. The mean Camorra, they just want money. So now it smells just like a sewer. They dump it in the Death Triangolo. And now we're sick, now we're sick, now we're sick, sick, sick. You'd never think that this grift is worth it. Somebody better help us quick.
There you have it. That's what we'll be teaching our children someday.
Not as peaceful as like Twinkle Twinkle or Mary Had a Little Lamb, and you know, it's got a little bit of drive to it.
It's about a mob driven like garbage ring. and people are dying.
Well, Ring Around the Rosie might have been about the plague.
Maybe. Unconfirmed, says Wikipedia.
Yeah. Whatever.
Though we know we can never cite it as a source, so.
That was fun.
That was very fun. I was very jazzed about both the genre and the topic this week were very fun.
Could have gone in a completely different direction with a different topic.
Yeah, like totally. But no matter what, it would have been good.
Yeah.
But I feel like we never got... Like, I feel like it's very rare that we get both, like, just a crackerjack topic and genre.
Right.
This week we did.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, I have an idea.
What's your idea?
For the beginning of next week's episode.
Yeah.
Can we each write a nursery rhyme using the WikiHow instructions to present to each other.
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
What do you want it to be about, like a particular topic?
No, no. I think we should each just pick a nursery rhyme to use as our, you know, starter nursery rhyme, and then just go from there.
All right, that's a good idea. Okay, okay. So it'll be a little show and tell.
Yeah, I think I'll use Three Blind Mice as mine.
Okay, I don't know if I'll use Hushabye. It's kind of a like slower one.
Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see.
Cool.
All right.
Well, you have that to look forward to, listeners.
And thank you for sticking with us. And we will see you next week. Same time, same place. Song Salad comes out every Monday with only a few rare exceptions. And you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, on other ones too that we never talk about.
Blueberry, Podbean.
I think we're on the, I actually think we're on the Google Play Store.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we're everywhere. So no matter what podcasting apparatus you have, you can listen to us. You can follow us on Twitter at SongSaladCast. And please do tweet at us. Thank you, Kieran Sizek, for your awesome salad spinner noise. Kieran also submitted us another one for next week.
Woot woot.
And if you'd like to jump on that train, just get at us on Twitter.
That it?
Leave us a review.
Yeah, review us on iTunes.
Yeah, helps us get noticed. It helps other people find the podcast, or just like tell somebody about us. That'd be cool too.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're
poop out of the hole. Wait, what was it?
Poop when it's whole.
Poop when it's whole. That's right. How can I ever forget that? One, it's so
two,
good.
Three, four.
Don't you ever like look? I imagine for you, Scott, you like look at a piece of music and you're like, I wish I wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and then I like looked at Poop When It's Whole and I was like, I wish I wrote that.
Yeah. Well, we can't all write masterpieces.
Master Poopses?
Oh, God. So many great potential titles for this episode. You just cracked yourself up.
I really did, because like I never thought about it before. It's like pieces. Oh my God. Master Poopses.
Master Poopses.
She grew up with the children of the stars in the Hollywood hills and the boulevard. Her parents threw big parties, everyone was there. They hung out with folks like Dennis Hopper and Bob Seger and Sonny and Cher. Safe now in this bar on Fairfax, and from the stage I can tell that she can't let go and she can't relax. And just before she hangs her head to cry, I sing to her a lullaby. I sing every. Like a frown. sure about this place. It's hard to play a gig in this town and keep a straight face. And it seems like everybody's got a plan.